This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
This is Mark Linsenmeyer on the Philosophy team today.
And this is Mary Hines for Team Improv.
Improv?
Improv. I improvised improv.
What would be the equivalent of philosophy? No, philosophy.
I like philosophy.
I think I should. I need to write it down if I'm going to come down with a good anagram here. Pronounceable anagram.
It wasn't
anagram.
A competition, but that's okay. I like philosophy. Dabble in philosophy.
Well, this is not something I'm going to pick a battle over, because my topic today that I was thinking was picking your battles. And there are a number of different ways that we could talk about this. But, you know, given the past two episodes.
Can we fight to the death? Is that how we want to do it?
I'm not picking that battle. I mean, yes. You not only pick what you're going to.
Are you sure?
What you're going to pick on, but you got to pick how far you're going to go with it. That's part of picking the battles. Yeah. How deep is the battles going to be?
I remember when I was coming up. I mean, I still am, because we're always growing in life and stuff. But don't sweat the small stuff, because it's all small stuff. And chicken soup for the soul. I remember that one. Like, don't sweat the small stuff, because it's all small stuff. I don't know if I agree, but that's just like what popped into my brain.
Well, sweating it, worrying about it, whether, you know, you're stoic about it, is a different issue, although related to, are you going to raise an objection? Right. I like the idea of not sweating something, even if you are raising an objection, though, of course, those often go together. Like, you know,
when
I'm
you
not going to
raising an objection. Tell me more. What do you mean?
You know, when somebody says something, pronounces a word wrong.
Yeah.
Are you going to the fact that I might correct someone?
Yeah.
You know, I have to decide whether that's an appropriate insertion, but that's a separate issue from, oh man, it bugs me so much when people say that word that way. When people say philosophy, God damn it. They're always saying that and I hate it. That's a self-obsession issue as opposed to a navigating the social landscape issue.
Now, when you say like picking your battles, the first thing that comes to mind, because I'm in the trenches of it right now. In the last month, I have gone through 11 viable roommate candidates.
Oy.
And it's been really exhausting and really draining. And it's been a real challenge, because I'm trying to write, direct, teach, run my pet sitting business, take care of my business, like take care of me. So I feel like when challenges like that come up, the way that I approach it is like, what can I do about it? Where do I have power? How can I grow? I take it as like an elective level up. Like, how can I like grow and heal through this? For example, I think on like person 8, the next day, I was in bed all day with my phone on do not disturb, because I was so like depressed and exhausted. With person 11 yesterday, I took a cinematic walk down Hollywood Boulevard in the rain with the glistening pink and black marble stars beneath my feet. And I got eucalyptus body scrub and some like new nails for myself from CVS. And I cried in the shower and I moved on.
Well, this is a very related issue, though it's not quite the same issue. Picking your battles could be like, you know, we've already decided that we're in this relationship of whatever sort. And I'm going to decide, am I going to try to change you? Am I going to try to change the situation? Am I going to try? Yeah. What battles am I going to pick within the relationship? As opposed to, am I going to be in the relationship at all? What is a deal breaker? Right?
Right.
Because if you never sweat the small stuff.
Right.
And everything's small stuff, then it seems like, well, I'm okay being in any kind of relationship. But clearly that's not true. Well, tell me about these more about these roommates. Or is it them not passing your criteria, or vice versa, or a mix? Or do you even know?
I think two of them made my whiskers twitchy. Like, there were elements about them that I was like, this is not going to work. Like, one of them, for example, she seemed really lovely, but then she was really honest with me and told me that her two cats have a history of clawing up furniture and getting underneath couches and trying to claw their way up into the couch from underneath. And that was like, your face. Yeah, I was like, that's not going to work for me. And someone else was just like, presenting a bunch of different trauma-related issues, then I was like, we're not a match. Everyone else seemed lovely, seemed great. Everything about it was looking good. And then it was like, for a myriad of reasons unrelated to me, they couldn't commit. Mm. I'm meeting number 12.
So they've said to you, I mean,
but here's the thing. So they've said to me, but I do not have the energy or the time to pick and parcel through that, because the facts are the facts and time is ticking on, and I could leak my power out to like, maybe they didn't like me, or like, maybe keep it deeper. But there's no power there, right? I always think in terms of like, is there power in this thought? And sometimes being like, fuck my life, everything sucks. Sometimes you need to have that moment, but you can't stay there long. So it's been absolutely exhausting. It's been so exhausting.
Well, thanks for fitting me in to look at the room. Here, I understand I'm like the 12th person you've had to look at the room.
Yeah, Nelson, come on in. Can I get you a soda water?
Oh, I'd love a soda water. Thank you very much.
Nelson, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but you smell kind of like a dirty aquarium tank.
Oh, thank you for noticing. I work on dirty aquarium tanks pretty much all day. I mean, it's my profession.
Oh my God,
it's
Nelson,
it's my mission. It's my hobby.
Why is there green film on the couch when you just stood up?
Oh, you know, it's like I take my work home with me, you might say. Sometimes I even get to bring a fish home.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm into fish.
Yeah. Usually only the dead ones. They don't let me, because it's, you know, at a pet store.
Sorry, I just need to turn a fan on. I just need to turn a fan on real quick. Hope you don't mind if I wear a KN95 mask. You know, can never be too safe.
Usually I wear a mask when I'm cleaning out the tanks, because some of the chemicals that they use, they're really quite deadly. And if I weren't wearing a mask, I probably would not live too much longer. You know, I don't know about whether there's any adverse effects from eating these fish that I've been taking home, but you know, generally
I am feeling a little dizzy actually being around you. I feel a little, wow, why is, okay, well, what do you like to do for fun, Nelson?
I mean, beside the aquarium tank thing, I have a variety of hobbies. I like to really just clean most things. So, you know, I see your kitchen.
Oh, that's good. That's fine.
Yeah, so your kitchen has a little dirty, and if you wouldn't mind,
Yeah, no, it's due for
Could I just go right now and just clean it up for you? Just sort of as an audition?
Sure.
You know, this is what I would be like as a roommate?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds great. The cleaning products are under the sink.
Oh, I bring my own cleaning products.
I was wondering what was in that big backpack.
Yes, yes. You know, if it's good enough for aquarium tanks, it's good enough for your silverware. And I need to put on the mask.
Oh, wait. Do you clean the sponge you use to clean out the fish poop before you touch my silverware?
Oh, sorry about that. You know, some people are this is actually a natural sea sponge. It was alive. Let me take it home, because it didn't survive.
Ring, ring, ring. Ring, ring, ring. Oh my gosh, my phone's ringing. Oh no. Hi, Mom. Oh no, that's an emergency. Yeah, I'll be there right away. Nelson, I'm so sorry. My mom has a thing, and
okay, well,
you could take the soda water.
Well, I could just stay here. Thanks. While you go out, if you know.
No, that's all right. I gotta go to Maryland.
Okay, all right.
I gotta
I'll go
over
in the hall.
Across. Thank you. Slam. Oh no!
That was probably.
Oh no! It's true.
Was that? Where does that measure?
It's too close.
In your actual experience.
No one's been that bad. No one's been that bad. I actually, no, Mark, and all of our wonderful listeners, I did all the regular things, all the posting and all of the apps and the websites and all of that. And the other day, I made a flyer. And I got it printed on like really nice cardstock, and I got myself all pretty, and well, I'm already pretty, but like more beautiful than normal, you know what I mean? And I went to 10 businesses in the area with a flyer, flirting my way into businesses, asking if they could post it in their break room. I'm very proud of myself. I was able to... In my family, we call it Mary for President, is what my family says. I did the Mary for President all the way into the admin office of the Pantages Theater. I started in the box office and I like worked my way into the admin office. So I don't know. So this is where it loops back to like the pick your battles. It's like, okay, like where do I actually have power? What can I do? And my point of view, I'm really leaning on a lot of like my spiritual core and faith right now. And what I've been telling myself is like, I got to meet my prayers halfway. I got to meet my angels halfway. Let me do everything I can. And the phrase that I tell myself is do your best and surrender the rest.
So this actually, you're bringing up the religious element. You know, we had Elijah Dan on a couple times ago, and
that was a great conversation. I loved that.
Yeah, he was.
I hope you enjoyed it too,
fascinating guy. Well, there are things about the way that it ran that I do want to talk about. But in terms of the content, he was sort of arguing a Charlie Kirk-esque. You know, we should be out on the public square. Professors like him should be out on the public square, willing to argue these things that are their philosophical beliefs, but they're in the common parlance. You know, that's just where religion lies. That is it philosophy? Is it a way of being? Is it, you know, it depends sort of what you consider it to be.
I feel like it's a little bit of both.
Yes. Well, those are very different things in terms of picking your battles. If somebody wants to insist on creationism, on the earth as being only however many thousand years old the creationists say that it is. I mean, I guess I don't care enough about that battle to actually like find out what to say against a person like that, because I think it's so obviously stupid. And so a person that has that belief is sort of beneath my contempt that, you know, it's almost like, why would you pick your battle with this obviously
we're not on the same
crazy
wavelength.
Person?
To me about that, it's like, I choose to operate under curiosity and kindness. I know what works for me. And I'm open to always improving and changing and learning and surrendering programming that I was given to reprogram for something that serves me better in this moment in time. I genuinely don't understand how someone can go through life without some kind of a spiritual faith foundation. And I don't say that with judgment. I generally have a hard time understanding how someone can go through life without some kind of faith base, because it is such a pivotal part of how I stay Mary is the religious, spiritual, Celtic, pagan, hippie side of me. All of those things that weave together.
Can we say woo woo? Is that a...
Yeah, I'm fine with woo woo.
I didn't know if that was a purely derogatory word.
I feel like woo woo is a little to me. Woo woo sounds derogatory because like you're woo woo. Oh, burning sage to cleanse your home. That's woo woo. Actually, really fun story here. I was on the Steve Harvey show. Friends listening, you can look it up on YouTube. If you type in "somebody smoking weed in the corner," Steve Harvey show, you will see me on the Steve Harvey show. It was
smoking weed
it was
in the
like
corner?
Ask Steve.
No.
That's what they called it, right? Because it's for TV. Okay. Like they're really like jazzing it up. So it's a portion where like someone in the audience asks Steve a question, and they asked me to present a couple of different scenarios. And I presented like three different scenarios of a question I could ask. And the question that I asked was like, I have a new roommate. I found her on a housing site on Facebook, an artist housing site on Facebook. And I really want to get her more involved with like my rituals of like cleansing the space and like keeping it high vibration. And Steve took me down. And it was actually like really in a good, and I had like repartee with him. So I'm standing in front this whole, and there's like producers with like mics in my face. Someone's crouched down below camera doing this like, come on to like keep going because they want good television, right? It was like humiliating and exciting at the same time. And they cut out some of the repartee I did with Steve. Steve was like, yeah, you need to live alone. And I said, I was like, are you going to pay for my apartment, Steve? And he was like, you know what? If this were a couple years ago, I would. And then he like goes to the camera and does a like, she's crazy face. And I say, Steve, I can see you. I'm right here. So it was ended up being good television, and it was highly curated for drama. But anyway, that made me think of this, which is going to give our listeners a treat. to check that
out. All right.
Out.
I'm looking forward to checking that out myself.
You too. Yeah. And it was also really wild too, because people were shredding me in the comments. People were saying awful, mean things.
That's what they do in the comments.
And
yes.
Exactly. And I really had to peel back from it because it's television. We went through three different drafts. They had me rewrite it, rehearsed it. They changed the language to make it seem more dramatic. While it was rooted in truth, there is nothing real about reality television. Or I don't know. Maybe there's like 4% real.
In terms of picking your battles, I find myself increasingly
I love how you brought it back. That was fun.
As I doom scroll or whatever, that I have the Twitter app, the X app on my phone. And, you know, usually the interactions are just like who's liked my philosophy posts or whatever. But it shuttles stuff toward me, which it thinks is high engagement, which a lot of it is conservative and some of it is liberal. But it's all very bellicose. You know, some of it's Elon Musk himself. You know, Trump is the worst president ever, or, you know, he's the best president ever. And then somebody equally bellicose will respond to them. And it just fascinates me how obnoxious some of the people are, and like that this is the public persona that they have. You know, so I'll go look, what kind of person would possibly post such a foul thing? And I'll look at their profile. Oh, maybe this person has a podcast. Most likely it's an anonymous sort of thing, but I am like logging in through the PEL account, so I'm not going to respond to any of these. So like I'm not mm-hmm. picking those battles. I just use it out of curiosity. I don't know mm-hmm. if that is that's probably the morbid curiosity is probably not what you had in mind. Curiosity
from. No, that's not the one I had in mind.
Let's stop for some ads. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. You have something to offer the world, and you should do it through your own website. Maybe you have a website, but you found it's annoying to keep up, to keep having to update the plugins, whatnot. Maybe you find that your website is not coming up very high in Google search rankings. Maybe you want to start, say, selling things on your website or have an email newsletter, but you'd have to figure out another plugin. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform designed to help you stand out and succeed online. It makes setting up a new site very simple and makes doing a redesign very simple. They've got award-winning built-in templates, or try Blueprint AI, Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder, to get a fully custom website in just a few steps. You want a store, you want an email campaign, you want SEO optimization so your website is findable on the web by the people you want to see it. Of course, Squarespace has all that stuff. And Squarespace Domains makes it easy to find the best name for your business at one fair, all-inclusive price, no hidden fees or add-ons required. And every Squarespace domain comes with advanced privacy and security tools included to ensure your domain remains online and protected. Head on over to squarespace.com/Linsenmayer. That's my last name, Linsenmayer, for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code Linsenmayer to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
My curiosity was more from like an open-hearted, open-minded, let me shut up my ego and let me see what I can learn by honoring, because what I hold dear, someone else holds what they hold dear just as dearly. So it's like, okay, let me honor you and let me have, I love the differentiation between respect and reverence, because the etymology of it, like respect implies judgment, reverence implies like honor and like, I revere your opinion.
But it seems like that's a social act, right? Or is that include, because a lot of curiosity is, they're not going to, you know, you're reading people's books, you're investigating their points of view through their online comments, through their articles and things. Even if you revere them, unless you tell them, I revere you or whatever, or is revering necessarily a social act? Like they have to actually receive the reverence.
Interesting question. I feel like reverence to me is more about me. It's how I engage with the content. Like, am I judging you and like keeping you at arm's length and pushing you away and thinking XYZ about how you're wrong and I don't agree? Or am I honoring your point of view? So to me, it's more about how like I digest the information and also how I act with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like coming back to what Elijah was saying, like I was acting with a lot of like reverence, like great, really great points, really interesting takes. And I'm going to glean from this what works for me. And I'm going to hold up what I believe and look at it and be like, does this still work for me? Why does this work for me? Is there another path I can go down?
Well, and I think that is, you know, he was saying that the religious people that he tries to teach, and they just, he can see in their eyes, they're not getting it. They're not getting, and I wonder why, you know, I want to talk to one of his more intelligent opponents of this sort to see, like, are they really just not understanding what he's saying? Or more likely, you know, they've signed up to take this class. They're doing this, they're listening to him on purpose. So they are interested in this. And they're going to take from it what they... So I listened to a conservative podcast, this Commentary magazine one I might have mentioned. And it's very Jewish. And they don't actually like Trump. Like, there are things that I couldn't listen to on a regular basis. If somebody actually is defending Trump, it would make me too sick. And if I try...
like, physically ill.
Yes, yeah, yes. Like, you know, and I, so I'll listen to individuals here and there. But, like, I'm not going to have an ongoing relationship with something, you know, where this becomes a voice in my head. And so, yeah, I've searched out. I think it was a friend of mine had recommended, like, he would go read George Will's columns and stuff. Like, find the smart people that are not of your political persuasion and just see what that point of view is and see if you have anything to learn from it. Not that I'm going to agree, but there's no stakes. Like, it's not so social relationship. So if they say a bunch of things like that make it clear that they do not have any sympathy for trans people at all, then I can just ignore that because I'm not, you know, it's not setting my hair on fire. It's just like more of the white noise that I hear out there of people who haven't actually engaged in this issue. So I'm not going to. So in this case, we're sort of talking about picking the battles in your head. Like, what are you going to get annoyed at such that you don't want to be curious about that anymore?
I think one can. I believe I do. Get very protective about our core beliefs because we've worked hard to build them and hold them on our operating system. So I feel like it's a defense mechanism when someone is trying, like, I think it's easy to let your mind go to the place that, like, someone's trying to take something from you. Someone's trying to attack you. It's kind of like, you know, when certain dogs, when they're eating, don't touch their bowl while they're eating or don't even
don't
stand
them.
Near them,
yes.
Right? Don't touch them. Like, don't touch me when I'm having my munchy, crunchy, chewy, yummy. Fuck off. Thank you. And so I think it's like that. Like, people get this amygdala, lizard brain, fight or flight kind of thing because their core beliefs are being shaken. As opposed to, yes, doing, this is where improv relates, as opposed to acknowledging that have been triggered, that a button has been pushed, and being like, yes, I see this, I feel this feeling. And to me, because of all the work that I do and Dare to Fail and like always being at the edge of my comfort zone, it is uncomfortable to be uncomfortable. So I understand why people want to protect it and they don't want to take a step further out of their mental map of the world. But I wish more people were willing to entertain someone else's point of view instead of villainizing them and putting them down, because maybe there's something you can learn here, my dude.
Well, so like when he was saying to us, you know, people should get on the public square, and then you responded to that saying something like, you know, I just have to remind myself when I get in there that no one is personally attacking my beliefs, that, you know, I don't have to get in this defensive mode.
Yeah, it's like what I was
mode. Saying there. Yeah. But I think that was a sort of passive aggressive way of saying, actually, you're wrong, because so for him, actually revering, respecting whatever the positive thing is would be to get in the trenches with him, because he wants to actually, not because he wants to show that he's better than you, which might be the Charlie Kirk thing, you know, or, you know, have his point of view win the world. He obviously, you know, had a personal drift. Elijah had the personal drift over time. And so, like, he is where he is now, and he thinks he has good arguments for that. But I don't know that I was going to say, I don't know that he's thinks of it in terms of jumping from one team to another, but maybe he does. Maybe he thinks of it as pugilistic. In any case, as a philosophy professor, he thinks that only good can come out of us engaging each other, trying to get at truth. Right. Do you agree with that?
I find it interesting that you said that you took that as like a passive aggressive thing, because it was not passive aggressive.
Maybe that's the wrong word.
I pride myself on authenticity. Yeah. Cause I pride myself on authenticity, vulnerability, and honesty. And like, I meant it.
It was a non-agreeing agreement. Let me say that, like an agreement to disagree is what that's a better way of putting it.
There you go. I think it was more like an agreement to disagree. Like, your point of view is great. My point of view is great as well.
Well, and I was trying to yes and him at the time with this reference to Rorty, the guy, Richard Rorty, who he had studied and wrote his dissertation on originally, who on Partial Examine Life, we talked about him talking about religion, and he was not satisfied with the let everybody just have their beliefs. And, you know, if that makes them happy, then what can I do about it? Because we use a shared language. We participate in a shared, like, rationality itself, according to Rorty, and this is controversial, is something that we have as a society built up together. And so there is something inconsistent in coming to the table and refusing to be rational, right? To insist that the earth is flat or whatever. And obviously, you know, so many of these things are much more abstract and rarefied, and it's not clearly like, was Jesus's mother a virgin or not? Like, that's the kind of low-hanging fruit that I feel like what he is doing and what the new atheist is doing, what Sam Harris are doing, I feel like that is a public service, because I do think that we are part of this communal project of rationality, so that there's plenty of ways to be religious and spiritual within this. But if you are just straight ahead saying things that are verifiably false, right? Not being convinced by facts insofar, you know, you could always argue, well, how do you know that she wasn't a virgin? Like, but you know, she's like, we have epistemic norms that we have developed. So I don't know. Is that the kind of stuff when you say I'm protecting my faith core? My interpretation is that that does not include alleged facts that are demonstrably false. That would be generally considered demonstrably false. Or am I wrong about that?
I think it is possible in my brain for the two things to exist. I can have the thought or the faith that, like, for example, in your analogy, that Mary was a virgin. I can choose to believe that, or I can also know that, like, maybe she wasn't. And also, to me, it doesn't matter. That's like picking your battle. Like, it doesn't matter to me. You can think what you want. I'm not going to be personally offended, because I could never know. And also, I don't enjoy argument, because I find that I have a pretty hot temper, and it's something that I've worked on, and it isn't fun for me. Like, I don't enjoy it, because I don't like how it makes me feel. Like, cause it's like, I feel like internally there's like a heat that, right. I think of inside out, like anger, like there's that heat that rises inside of me. And as that, like, anger and like indignation that I kind of feel like I don't have any control over, like, rises up. And then if my brain were a pie chart, as I feel it start to fill up the majority of my brain, it's not fun for me. And I don't want to, like, put myself through that. So that's where I go back on, like, if it harm none, let it be done. If you like that, that's great. I can like what I like. You can like what you like. We can both exist in the same world.
Well, especially putting it that way, liking things, that is, again, different than claiming knowledge about things.
Well, like a spiritual preference.
You know, if you say, well, I do not like trans people or whatever, that is something that I will take issue with. Is, well, do you know any trans people? Because it's just a form of prejudice or bigotry if you say it like that, or if you say,
right.
But then, or, you know, liking, though, is different than
trying to kill and take their rights away and deny them.
Well, yes. Or just arguing over facts. If you say being trans is a mental illness, well, what is that? Is that a supposed scientific claim that you're making, or is that an expression of that you don't like them, right? That there's not actually no,
or is that you communicating that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
you know, so I won't respond to these random people, but the couple times where I've had.
Oh, yeah. Do you have some? Do you have some pulled up?
Well, no, it's people I know. Actually, I have my cousin's Facebook page pulled up and I will not dox him or anything. And I was trying to find a specific one. I had a guy that you used to be in a band with in Texas that he was posting stuff right around the run up and the aftermath of the 2020 election. And I was engaged with him and I was being the curate, you know, he didn't even know where I stood exactly. I mean, he should have from actual conversations that we'd had, but you know, he was trying to convince me like, you know, do your own research, this kind of, but really arguing heavy QAnon stuff. And I just found it fascinating. And I did kind of get into it with him and he would keep like, oh yeah, 15 days from now, Trump's going to roar back to office and take Biden out. And then 15 days would come and I'd be like, is there really nothing? Like what? Is there no penalty for in your own mind? Are you going to admit that you've been following the wrong news sources or something? And like, he eventually just blocked me, I think at that point.
See, that's like that, because that leads to the thought that I was thinking, like when someone is feeding themselves with misinformation, bigotry, hatred, etc., I feel like they're so far away for me to be able to communicate to them and like help them see something different that it's not worth the labor for me. Because my improv and acting students need me. My pet sitting clients need me. So it's like, to me, I look at it as like, I only have so much bandwidth in a day.
Yes, of course.
And am I going to like parcel my precious energy out for someone who doesn't give a fuck about hearing what I have to say? Or am I going to relinquish and be like, okay, bye. Because I want to speak where I'm heard.
Yes.
Where someone actually wants to listen and receive my expertise. So I hear what you're saying with your cousin. You're
well,
like,
now, yeah. So now it's my cousin whose Facebook page is just filled with retweeted or however you do it on Facebook. I guess you have to
reshared
right wing garbage. And then among these
recycled garbage
on January 15th, a Keanu Reeves quote, because I was responding to a couple things that he would put something very wrong about, like, oh,
why has he got to drag Keanu?
Oh,
that's not very excellent of
Trump's
him.
Only knocking a little bit of the East Wing down. And I would just put up the link to like, no, here's what's actually going up. And then his mother, who is liberal, would also pile on. And sometimes my sister would pile on. But then I stopped doing that. So this Keanu Reeves quote that I'm at the stage of my life where I keep myself out of arguments. Even if you tell me 1 + 1 = 5, you're absolutely right. Enjoy. This isn't about just about being peaceful. It's about the high cost of your attention.
Yes,
and he
Keanu.
Goes and goes and goes on. Some people don't want the truth. They want a conflict. Let them have it. Just don't let them have you.
Yeah.
So this is a fine quote.
I love it.
I love that.
Look who is posting this. As a way of saying, I'm going to keep posting 5 garbage right-wing memes a day, but I'm not going to respond to you if you call me on the bullshit that is in them, because I don't know. I haven't actually spoken to my cousin to see. Clearly, this is just something that fires his soul to find these things to be outraged about or assert supposed common sense about or whatever, but not actually. Yeah. So I'm getting in the public forum. Insofar as Facebook, you know, it's your own page, it's your own friend. Anyway, but I'm not going to engage with people in the public forum unless they agree with me. So what do you think? I mean, is that, some people just like to seethe supposed information.
Yeah, I'm going to let it, if someone wants to seethe, then you're not getting my energy though. Like you can seethe all you want, but I'm not dipping down to your low vibration. I like to think of it in terms of nourishment and nutrients. There's no nourishment or nutrients going down there. Some things I will go down there for if I really feel like you need to hear me and I need to help you, but no, thank you. I have other stuff that's keeping me growing and elevating where like, I don't want to go down there. You play in the dirt. I'm going to go up there.
Well, I brought the Jell-O salad. I know, yeah, your uncle's, doesn't keep in very good touch, but I'm hoping that despite the politics and all that stuff, that we can have a really nice holiday meal and share. What would you bring?
Yeah, I really hope that we can have a nice Thanksgiving dinner because I just can't handle any more stress, Daryl. I brought the green bean casserole with the French onion toppers, and you know, I decided to do something a little bit crazy this year, and I added bacon bits.
Oh, I added bacon bits to the Jell-O salad too.
Bacon bit Jell-O?
Oh yeah, everybody. I mean, don't you just add bacon bits to pretty much everything?
Well, I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, bacon bits are life, right? That's what I have. I actually got it embroidered on this pillow. You see, bacon bits are life. Right next to the live, laugh, love.
I'm glad we could agree on so many things.
You know what, Daryl? It's my hope tonight in our Thanksgiving celebration that there are just no fist fights. And I really, I don't want, you know, do you remember last year? You remember
I do. I remember. I remember your sister and
Dan was thrown.
Yeah,
she, Dan and Sheila, they were. I feel so bad for your Jell-O salad. I didn't know Jell-O could fly that far and smack against a wall like it did. And I don't think anyone should express themselves violently with food.
No, I mean, if Sheila wants to believe that the Earth is flat. I think that's her right it's my just like my right to bring my gun.
Just as long as she don't disrespect bacon bits and
yeah, head. Yeah, yeah.
And you can put your gun. Actually, you know what? I brought out a chair for your gun. See that chair in the corner right there? That's for your shotgun.
It's just you know, if somebody were to come into the Thanksgiving or there were to be a row,
I know anything. Yeah.
I'd have to get all the way over to the chair. Don't you think you would feel more safe? If I could just have it right here in the holster where it loves to be.
The way that you drink bourbon, and I did make a really nice bourbon punch this year. The way that you drink bourbon, I do not feel comfortable with you having your shotgun at arm's length.
Oh, you got the bacon bourbon.
I'm sorry.
You got the bacon bourbon. Oh, thank you.
I did. There's bacon bits in there. Bacon bits in the bourbon. Bacon bourbon, bacon bourbon, bacon bourbon.
All right.
So anyway, that's all I'm saying is I'm willing to let you have your shotgun in the house, but I am not willing. I put your place on the other end of the table and shotguns on the other side of the room.
Honestly, having a shotgun in a belt, a holster, it doesn't even work very well. It's not ergonomically. I can't sit down.
Would you
down
like a water pistol instead? Would it make you nice if you had a little super soaker, honey?
I mean, if we're going to put some of that bourbon bacon in it.
Bacon bourbon in it. Yeah.
Listen, you know what? Relationships are all about compromise. I've been going to therapy. I've been learning. And I'm willing to let you have a holster super soaker full of bacon bourbon. Could be fun.
All right, deal. I think we've worked out all the things that people have to disagree about in the universe. And they have a happy Amen. Time.
I love that. That was fun. Also, I like that character.
Daryl, and what was your name? Or did you, Estelle?
I don't know. I didn't gave name me a name.
I keep forgetting to name other people. I have trouble remembering my own name.
I've been working with my Improv 1 students. I'm in a second city term right now, and tomorrow's the last class. And I'm so amazed with their growth over, it's been 6 weeks so far. Tomorrow will be mark week 7. And I really like harp on the importance of naming someone, because once you give someone a name, it like, goom, 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 goom. Like it really like drops it down and grounds it, because you're Daryl and I'm whoever I am. But like, because in, you know, in improv, you start with anything and everything could happen. So our mind is racing, trying to make things make sense and ground it. So once we discover pieces of information that declare our world into existence, it helps the brain of the listener slash viewer relax, because now what they were curious about has been expressed.
With bacon.
Bacon is a standby, not only as a food, but as a humor thing. I don't even eat bacon myself, but
I actually just had some bacon. Humor. It was really lovely. Yeah.
I respect your right to have the bacon.
Me having bacon ain't doing you no harm.
I mean, I think pigs are smart, but on the other hand, they're sons of bitches, from what I understand. They would, you I say, mean, oh, they're smarter
I
than
have
dogs,
a client that's-
but they'd eat you.
I have a client that's a pig. Like, actually, interesting. I was, okay, last year I had a gig at the Westfield Holiday Village selling these really adorable plush animals that you could, like, they're called warmies, and you can heat them up in the microwave, and they've got flax seeds and lavender inside them, and it's like a soothing, scented, weighted thing. Super, super cute. My friend came in, and she didn't know I was there. She was just like, oh my gosh, Mary! And her name's Mary as well. I was like, oh my gosh, Mary! And her friend was with her, who had this really big pig in a wagon. And apparently it's like a celebrity pig. I don't know, whatever. So I step out to like say hi to the guy and say hi to the pig. And the guy looks at me and I was like, first of all, I ask, because pig is like under a blanket. Pig in a blanket. Mm. And you know, there's a lot of stimulus, like a lot of like sound and music going on. And so I ask him, like, may I say hi to him? And he went, do you eat meat? And I was like, yeah, sometimes. I was honest. And he was like, then you don't love animals. You just told Mary Poppins. I felt so much fire and heat rise up. Like my temper was like, again, like I said, like how the anger and the rage, like it immediately filled up my pie chart. And I said, you are hateful and full of judgment. And I turned around and walked away.
And do you feel like you should have just lied so you get to meet the pig? Because the pig was not full of hate and judgment.
No, because I know who I am and I pride myself on authenticity and vulnerability. So I could have lied, but I answered honestly. Do I feel a little bit bad that I eat meat? Yeah, I do. And I'm trying to like not, but also like my body likes it and protein and iron, etc. But anyway, that was just an example of like someone, I don't know, him saying that. I felt like coming back to like that was a challenging of my core belief that I love animals and animals are really important to me.
Sure.
And it wasn't worth, like, if to me, I was like, if this guy like so blatantly can be like, can say that, then also I'm at work. It's around the holidays. There's like people all around us. I don't have the time to teach you, right? I don't have the time to have this conversation with you, and I don't have the energy. So I'm just going to remove myself and know that I am who I am and you are who you are. And I'm walking away.
But that is the kind of thing that you bug yourself about. Like, you know, we've talked about this, you know, that the actual fighting with another person, arguing with another person, it's not that great. But the curiosity thing means that you, if they're not being directly obnoxious to you and getting your defenses up, if you're right, watching them on TV or whatever, then you can just absorb that. And then that might just add, that might be a thing that would occur to you as you proceed on your meat involved journey, let's say.
And maybe if the environment would have been different, if the variables would have been different, I would like to think I would have found a way to have a conversation with him. But it was like, sure, a couple days before Christmas in a Christmas village while I'm like playing an elf and like I'm trying to sell product and there's like children all around me and like the snow show is about to start, aka soap suds falling from the sky. And I don't really like to like be out there when that's happening because the soap gets in my eyes. Anyway, so it's like, it was not the environment to have that conversation.
But Mary, there's always time for philosophy. You just grind to a halt. You say, move aside, children. We're going to have it out.
Hi, angel of philosophy. I didn't know you were going to visit me today.
Well, hello. You're right, busy dealing with all your stuff. And yet there
really
was a contradiction in your thinking. And so here I am, part of your brain, the angel of philosophy, where you decide whether you should continue to eat meat even though you love animals. Maybe don't eat the actual animals that you love. Is that a good starting point?
Yeah, I don't
point?
Think I would. I think that's a great starting point. I don't think I'd take a bite out of my clients. I mean, sometimes I like to give like nibbles and kisses, but it's never like an actual chomp.
Obviously, you know, not eating cats and dogs, that's, you got that covered.
Right.
But if you're taking
yeah,
care of a
cover.
Bird.
No problem there.
And then you're eating
I do have
chicken.
Some chicken clients, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you don't see a conflict there between,
Oh, what's the name of one of the chickens you take care of? Because you got to name them to give the character, to get the character going.
Yeah, Lady Hawk. Lady Hawk is one of the chickens. By the way, this is real. Of course you know Angel of Philosophy.
Does she have a very definite personality that you like?
Yeah, she actually, Lady Hawk likes to escape from her pen and
she has dreams of freedom.
She has a really nice enclosure. She has dreams of freedom. She does have dreams of freedom.
So you're okay then with not exactly Lady Hawk. Does she just get an exception, or the chicken that's in your sandwich you think doesn't have dreams, or you're just, going to take advantage of the fact that you never met that chicken?
Well, technically the chicken in my sandwich also has freedom, and it's the freedom to be nutrients for me.
Oh my God. We're now.
I'm sorry, Angel of Philosophy. I don't really have time to have this conversation with you. I got a sales quota, and everyone's looking at me really weird because they can't hear you and they can hear me.
That's okay. We're going to leave space and time and go back in time to slavery times and see how your logic about.
Oh, it's okay. Give me later. Give me later. I got to go. Someone's at the register. Oh, no.
I think that's a great example. I think vegetarianism is such a great ethical issue because it's like real and practical and something that there isn't a real social consensus on. I mean, the general consensus is it's fine to eat meat. If you were like, if only 5% of the people ate meat, then you'd probably feel different, unless you're like, my family always ate meat. I don't care what does it matter? What the social norm is in terms of approaching these kinds of issues.
I don't know.
Because, I am actually watching right now 12 Years a Slave, and, it's not a morally ambiguous thing. It is, the slaveholders are bad. That's very clear. But that was a thing that required some courage. There was a lot of people that were anti-slavery, but especially in that part of the world, it would be very easy to be just like, well, that's how we live. That's part of our core beliefs. I guess it's just so obvious that involves other people, and so it matters. You can't just have your opinion. I just think that people are better off as slaves. Like, no, because that is a hurtful opinion, physically hurtful.
That's where it comes back to, like, the mirror that I hold up. The base of the core thing is, like, if it harmed none, let it be done. Well, it's harming, so maybe it shouldn't be done. And in this aspect, slavery is an absolute no.
But
just saying, Link, I just want to be clear. Like, just like linking it back to that, like, if it harmed none, let it be done, and it harms, so no, it's not done.
I mean, your belief that the world is round, so many people share that belief, I understand, but it's led to so many people falling off the edge of the earth. I mean, it's really a harmful belief.
I mean, there's so many people on planet Earth, and we're really like running the earth ragged. So if a couple people fall off, it's actually for the best.
I mean, that is with the flat earth theory. I wonder if you go to the edge and you kind of jump around, like, could you make part of the earth fall off so that it gets gradually smaller? This island earth gradually contracts. Like, that's the real global problem. Environmental catastrophe.
Truly, all the other things that we're worried about are just hogwash and malarkey.
Yes, it's pieces of the flat earth falling into the void that is underneath.
That's what we really have to be worried about. I think everyone's got it all wrong.
Because it's skittier at the edges, it's...
Of course it is. It's more brittle. Everybody knows that.
All right, we should wrap up the public
this
version.
This is fun, though.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, part of the whole surrendering and what are you picking your battles is, for me, as podcaster, how we're conducting... I think the only problem I've had with you specifically is like the one episode where we didn't get around to improvising for a long time, but that we just, we talked about it and now we do plenty of improv and that was great. But with guests, it's a different dance and you got to kind of decide like, what are we doing? What is the role of the guest? Because both these last two guests we had were great guests. They were also very long winded. Yeah. And they had stories to tell. And of course we were curious about them and we wanted them to tell the stories and they weren't boring stories.
Yeah.
So like I was trying to be a little more surrender than usual, just like letting them go.
Yeah. So my take is, and I noticed it on our last two guests, and I think this is more about how I approach improvisation. When I see and hear people doing behaviors and saying words that indicate I am afraid, or I don't feel safe, or I feel uncomfortable, I offer two more times in that moment, live in that moment, to engage and encourage them to play. And then if those are pushed down and thwarted, then I lean back, because I can only pull someone as far as they are willing to go. And if people feel hesitant or nervous, or they don't want to engage, then especially through this format of, like, we're not physically in a room together. Like, if we were physically in a room together, I might, like, consensually reach out and, like, physically engage with them in a way, or, like, hand them some kind of object work thing. I would hand them a thing of bacon bits. I would, like, engage with them. But I don't know. I think that's more of me also doing, like, a hospitality hygiene thing of, like, protecting the well-being of our guest. It's a fine line. And all of that, everything that I'm saying, is all happening live in the moment.
Well, and it was great to hear that kind of stuff. And my approach with this is that we are co-hosting. So, we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to take your cues in terms of, but there are other shows of mine that we have, like the Partially Examined Life. Like, we, even if we have a big time guest who could talk all day at their book, I warn them beforehand, like, we want to have a conversation with you. Really, if you find yourself talking more than 3 minutes in a row, just stop, and then we'll say some stuff, and then you can talk some more. Breaking it down. And still, that only about 50% of the time works, because they're used to being in professor mode.
Like presentation mode, as opposed to, like, ensemble collaboration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not the worst thing. So I think we were even running into this in our early discussions together of when it is okay to interrupt, especially in the internet where there's lag. So we don't, you might not be done saying something, but there was a breath. And so I tried to jump in, but then and it sort of takes a little adjustment to be, I think on podcasts, you should be less polite than you are in real life, because you want to keep things moving and peppering. Whereas in real life, you can be there's no audience. You can be as boring as you want. And in fact, my wife is very, if I jump in too soon and don't let her finish her story, that I need to really not be in podcast mode and, like, actually thoroughly listen and don't try to say something funny in response.
Yeah.
You know, if she's expressing, she's saying how hard the day was, and like, well, now it's the weekend. Like, well, could you just let me wallow for a minute in the, that is not good listening. It's a very distinct skill.
I found, I really lean into more like asking questions. Mm-hmm. How can I support you right now? What do you need? I need you to bitch with me for a second. I need you to let me talk, right? It is, yeah, I heard. I like the flow that we're finding. When you launch into an improvised moment, and I feel like, exponentially you've been doing more of that, I love it. I think it's so exciting and delightful. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, Mark, let's go. Like, part of, like, both, like, co-host, collaborator, and also teacher me is going like, fuck yeah, like, let's do this.
Well, I will just reach out to the audience then. And, if they think, I did have somebody say, with Bill, that, like, hey, I really like the you and Bill episodes better than the ones with the guests, but that was only one person ever, so I sort of just ignored that. but I want to retain that. I don't want to just have guests. I like this kind of thing too. So but yes, if we'd love to hear from people. Do they like the guests? Would they like more guests? Do they have specific guests? They want to be a guest.
What do you want? What do you want?
So many questions. And you should email us about these things. You can just go to the Partially Examined Life site, and there's a contact form there.
And please go to YouTube and type in Steve Harvey, somebody smoking weed in the corner.
I'll do that. All right.
Thank me later.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, listeners.
Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the Jell-O.
Bye. Good luck with the roommates.
Thank you. Bankrupt.
Bankrupt. Bankrupt. Thanks for listening to Philosophy vs. Improv. Get more at philosophyimprov.com. Support the show and get our supporter-exclusive post-game segments at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. This podcast is a member of the Partially Examined Life family of podcasts.